all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
All right, welcome everybody to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Wednesday, February 22nd. It's another beautiful day on Lake Wissota, but only because there's 3-4 inches of snow there and much more is on the way. If you haven't heard by now, we have our top two candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They would be Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly, the Milwaukee County judge who's a progressive, the former state Supreme Court justice who's a conservative, will face off come April 4th. I'm sure that we will talk to our guests about that, amongst other things, state representatives Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton. They're also going to tell us more about basically the new CRT, the next phony issue with the manufactured anger that, you know, much like CRT was against teaching an actual honest view of American history. This time around, it's going to be about smearing those who would want to invest in companies that are conscientious about not polluting, not cheating their workers, not doing business with some shady actors. So that's coming up. We are also less than 10 minutes away from a check-in with weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky about the outlook all across Wisconsin and this potential whopper, this potential doozy, this potential character builder, shall we say. And then, of course, in the Civic Media homeroom coming up at 7:50, Todd Alba will tell us what's coming on his program a little later on, coming up in the next hour on many of these stations. If you'd like to reach the show, you can call us at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. You can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and you can look for more from the Up North News team at upnorthnewswi.com or look for Up North News WI on social media. Aaron Zommers is with us in Madison as well. Thankfully, not quite in the bullseye of the things that are going to come visit us. So at least so far, Aaron.
Yeah, I'm starting to see a little bit of accumulation on the ground, but just a little bit.
Okay. All right. We have not yet discussed, and I didn't know if Aaron wanted to add to the question that we've been asking this week, and that is if Wisconsin had a state aroma of the good kind, you know, what kind of things would make other states jealous? Now, if you are watching this on our Facebook feed and want to comment right there, well, we'll put those comments up on screen as they come in and let us know, you know, what you think there should be. I have to be honest, I haven't come up with any new ones. I mean, I'm looking outside going, there is something about the crisp air after it gets done snowing, but I don't know that qualifies as a state aroma.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I definitely do also enjoy that, but I can definitely see how that's a lot less enviable than something like tailgating or the yeast from the breweries.
Mm-hmm. So true. But again, because New Mexico had this very interesting one involving, the peppers that they roast, we thought, well, let's see if by chance people have an idea for something here. And so we invite your comments to come in on that as well. I'm going to ask Christina Shelton about this when she comes in too. There is a huge fundraising effort there called Give Big Green Bay, which I was not aware of until Kristen Lyerly told me about it the other day, where the Community Foundation has a big giving event for all of these various nonprofits and other charitable works in the area. So we'll talk to her about it. And then I guess it goes on through noon today. And so tomorrow we'll talk a bit about how much it raised and how much good it's going to do. And then finally, speaking of Dr. Lyerly, she will join us tomorrow at 7:30. She did send us a video yesterday on Fat Tuesday. She went to go get some punchkies at a nearby bakery for Fat Tuesday. Again, today is Ash Wednesday. I know at my church, they already sent out the announcement that there will not be in-person services for Ash Wednesday, that it will be online only, because they do do online broadcasts of all of their Sunday services. So you might want to check with your church as well, if by chance that is something that applies to you. But yeah, for Fat Tuesday, Kristen was out getting punchki. She sent a video. I wanted to try to play it on air, but I don't want to guinea pig you right now, but we'll see if we can get it. She, needless to say, was having a very good time looking for punchkis. Actually, since you're right here and we've got about a minute to go here, should we give it a try?
Sure, if you want to.
All that can happen is we blow people's ears out. So here is the little video clip that Kristen sent me that I'm going to play, see if y'all can hear this. And Aaron, you can keep your mic on and tell me if it works or doesn't. So,
coming to you live from Smirava's in Pulaski with my punchki on punchki day. The line is out the door. This is absolutely ridiculous and wonderful, and I can't wait to see what's inside. Let's find out. Chocolate. So good.
She's like eating some of her hair. It's so windy over there. That was great. Well, now we know those video clips work, which only is going to encourage her to send more of them.
Oh, of course. Yes. And we'll be happy to play them.
Oh, yes. Yes, we will. Because she was also, I think, going to go watch the, there's the cheese championships that are being judged someplace as well. So she's turning into quite the roving reporter for us, and we do appreciate that. All right, coming up after the break, State Representatives Christina Shelton and Francesca Hong will join us to talk more about what is the next right-wing manufactured outrage. That's coming up next. You're up north.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow.
Well played. Well played, Mr. Zomers. Good work out of you. We are going to be visiting with Jennifer Vachitsky, weatherology meteorologist. Oh, she's with us here. So let me get that ready to punch up and find out what is going to be the latest on. We've just had the one of the 1-2 punch, and now we're going to see what's the latest on the forecast for that punch number 2. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what do you think?
Goodness. Well, it's going to be an interesting day today, particularly when we get to the evening hours tonight and into early tomorrow morning. So let's go over a little bit more of the snowfall that has already fallen through the state right now. Not much to the south, Madison, down to Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. Not much snowfall around there. Maybe a fresh coating possible. But the main concerns the main amounts of snowfall farther to the north along the border, actually our highest amount in Guile, at 9 inches. A little bit closer to Lake Superior and Ashland, looking at areas between about 4 to 6 inches of snowfall. And then as you get a little bit closer to Hudson, right along the border to Minnesota, they're looking at 5 inches, Wausau at about 3 inches of snowfall. So far, that's fallen. And so we're really starting to see that kind of coming in this morning, and then that's going to continue throughout the day today. The farther south you go, the less amount of snowfall is expected. There is actually an ice storm warning in effect here for the extreme southern portions of the state from Darlington, East Troy, Racine, Kenosha. They're expecting to see ice storm warnings. Not a lot of snowfall expecting, but the ice accumulation is coming up to about a quarter to a half of an inch, and that's going to cause some down tree potential and some power outage as well. So if you are in those necks of the woods or traveling today, and you have to travel today, then that's what you can expect farther down there. But it's slightly farther north around Madison, Waukesha, and Milwaukee, that winter storm warning is in effect, and that's going to continue mainly until tomorrow afternoon. And still looking at some areas of ice potential with some sleet and freezing rain mixing in with that snow, and those temperatures kind of lingering right around about freezing today. But it does look like one of the main concerns will be the areas of blowing snow causing low visibility. That's why we're looking at that winter storm warning in effect instead of that ice storm warning. So definitely something to keep in mind. Still looking at a few inches of snowfall during the daytime and especially into tonight. You go over towards Richland Center, still looking at about the same thing. In Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, even over to Oshkosh, looking at that winter weather advisory in effect for about the next hour and a half or so, a little over an hour and a half. Still looking at periods of snow showers coming in here for today, picking up primarily once we get to the late afternoon hours. Then that'll switch over to a winter storm warning, and that's going to continue until about Thursday evening. Still looking at periods of snowfall here for today, tonight, and into tomorrow. And then as you get to about Amory and Baldwin, still looking at those winter storm warnings. Actually, Amory looking at that winter weather advisory until about the evening hours. But again, the main concern will be not only just the amount of snow coming in for the evening hours tonight, up to about 11 inches of snowfall in the western portions of the state, but also those areas of blowing snow causing extremely low visibility. As you get a little bit farther north towards Ashland, they've got blizzard warnings, and again, that concern of very low visibility for the day as well. And so overall, looking at about maybe 1 to 2 or 4 inches of snowfall in the extreme southern portions of the state, anywhere between about 12 to 18 inches of snowfall here still expected here for the northwest or the northern portions of the state right along the lake, and then maybe 8 to 12 inches and around Rice Lake, Amory, and Baldwin still expected here through at least Thursday evening.
All right. So basically, don't go out if you don't have to between the snow, the blowing snow, and the ice. Not just because you might think you're going to be okay, but if you aren't okay, then you're going to put other people at risk who have to come and haul your fat out of the fryer. Weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky. Jennifer, thank you so much. We appreciate the update, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Stay safe.
All right. Very good words there to stay safe. All right. To the conversation right now, let's add State Representative Christina Shelton from Green Bay and State Representative Francesca Hong from Madison. Fran, Christina, good morning. Thanks for waiting while we got that weather update. How are you doing?
Good morning. We are doing all right. Probably not as great as that weather update, though.
So hopefully everybody does stay safe and stay indoors where they can. Representative Shelton, I don't know if you heard right before the break, but I'm going to try to remember before we're all done to ask you about Go Big Green Bay, a big day of giving out there, and to hear all about it. It certainly seems to be giving a positive vibe to the community. So I'm looking forward to learning more about that from you as well today, too.
Yeah, this is such a celebration of the community. 45 nonprofit organizations. I think they're in at $1.3 million in total donated money. It goes until noon. All of those dollars are matched with other generous donors. So people can Google Give Big Green Bay and hit that donation link.
Perfect. All right. Love it. So the two representatives had an opinion column in the Cap Times that caught my eye, and I wanted to ask them to share some of their thinking with you, our listeners. The headline being Alec cooks up a sequel to critical race theory. Alec being the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is a group for state legislators from around the country, but by and large, designed for the conservatives, I would dare even say the right wing, but because it's open to legislators, any legislator can go, is the way I understand it. And Representative Hong, let's start with you. You and Representative Shelton said, well, why don't we find out what they're talking about over there?
Yeah, so as you noted, it is on paper a nonpartisan nonprofit, so any state legislator is eligible, and their membership is open. We decided to go because really we know that ALEC is a right-wing think tank and bill factory. A lot of the model legislation that they create is what state legislatures then kind of, we call them cookie cutter bills, put their states maybe stamp on it and then push them out to the people who are there. We decided to go because it's important to know what the opposition is doing, and it's important to make sure that our strategy continues to be framed around what we are for as Democrats, who we are fighting for, and who we are. And I think any good strategy involves knowing what the opposition is doing. And right now, it's really it's a continuation of what's bad for democracy.
What's bad for democracy, and also, as you put it, a product that is gained to manufacture fake social wedges to distract voters from their anxiety about economic insecurity. And Representative Shelton, this time, we've talked about CRT in the past and, you know, being opposed to a comprehensive teaching of American history. But now there's going to be a new type of thing, something called ESG, which is environmental, social, and governance investing. Do you want to explain a bit about what, a little bit more about ESG investing, and then what it is that Alec is saying to Republican legislators, the way they ought to be talking about it?
Yeah, so it's important here to start with the fact that Alec is manufacturing these crises. These concerns aren't about ESG or CRT are not coming from the people of Wisconsin or the people of this country. They are manufactured by Alec and their right-wing partners. So ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. And basically, it's a way that a company can measure their impact, anything from climate change to diversity, equity, and inclusion to sustainability measures. It's a way to look at investments through this model, and it's pretty standard and benign. But what they said in one of the opening sessions that morning at the first day was there was a panel, and a gentleman in the panel said, ESG was the greatest threat to American democracy since the Civil War. And Fran, if you remember, I was taking a sip of my coffee and I almost spit it out all over the place. And I looked at her, and all of a sudden, everyone around the room took out their phone, and you could see that they too were Googling ESG. And so they are spoon feeding these manufactured crises to right-wing Republican legislators around the country.
And in doing so, I mean, again, if there's one thing that right-wing politicians and activists can do better than perhaps anybody, it's distill something down to a bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker for this, I'm almost sure, will be just the two words, woke investing. And again, for those folks who might not be familiar with the show, I try not to say a bad word, but I just try to remind people that woke is just another way of saying don't be a, and then put in your bad word, either a racist jerk or a misogynistic jerk or a bigoted jerk. I use a different word than jerk, but that's all woke is. And yet somehow it has become this target, Fran. And now about responsible investing. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think just like what they did with CRT, they're trying to simplify and create a problem that doesn't exist, right? And so an example bill that comes from the fear mongering of ESG would be the Energy Discrimination Elimination Act that was introduced in Texas. And unfortunately, their hypocrisy continues to grow because Alec touts itself as federalism and being for and valuing free markets. Well, what they're doing is really an infringement on the freedoms of those free markets by creating an evil wokery for investors, when really we know that what large investors are doing and asset managers are doing are looking to maximize profits. And if it means for them, I mean, it's bad for democracy and all of us if mostly what they're trying to do is maximize profits at the backs of working people and make them fear. And again, just like noted in our article, have them create fear based on our economic anxieties.
And we're kind of talking about, I would say, positive investment decisions, in that it's different than, you know, when I was growing up and South Africa was still ruled by apartheid, and there were a lot of talks about economic boycotts and, mm-hmm. and other boycotts to hurt a country that was engaged in a bad practice. But as I understand it, ESG is more about, you know, making good investments in companies that are deciding we don't need to put profits ahead of trashing the environment or being bad to our workers. And so consequently, if right-wing activists go after them, I mean, you're not going after a negative. You're going after something that's a positive, and you're essentially spreading the cancel culture they pretend to be against, Christina.
Yeah, I mean, they're really trying to shove a square peg into a round hole here. And if I can be candid, when Fran and I were in those rooms, it was kind of funny at points. I mean, it's not funny because it's real, but funny to watch them try to square their free market ideology with basically going after banks and corporations that they for years have adored and worked alongside. And these are some of their biggest donors. So, you know, I think for us, you know, it's really important here, as we did with CRT. I think people with CRT thought, you know, this is ridiculous. It's not real. You know, why are they coming after this? Well, let's learn the lessons from that CRT issue, which continues, and think about how we frame the issue with ESG. Personally, I'm not interested in the arguments of, you know, the merits of free market banking or companies. I really want to make sure that we have a clear message on what Democrats are doing for the people of Wisconsin. And I think that's really important as we think about how we move forward.
And I definitely want to get into how progressives should talk about these issues, kind of the do's and don'ts. We're running up against a break, and I also wanted to see if we can talk about Governor Evers and the budget. Do we have to lose one or both of you, though, at 7:30, or can we keep one or both of you over this break? You're both giving me nods. Okay, good. We're going to keep you there, but I got time for about a 30-second answer here, Fran. So we'll do more on the backside. But what's the first thing you would say to somebody about when you hear somebody criticizing ESG investing? You know, what should they keep in mind, or maybe even respond with?
That it's a distraction. That right now it's a veneer sometimes for folks. It's the new climate deniers, right? I think it's important to keep in mind that. Apart from ESG investments and asset management, it's important to figure out how capitalism can work best for working people right now, and to not be, again, distracted by the right trying to sow chaos and fear.
There you go. Representative Fran Hong and Christina Shelton are with us. We're going to take a very quick break here and then come back and wrap up our discussion on ESG investing, the new CRT, and also the budget debate in the legislature. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Back again with State Representatives Christina Shelton of Green Bay and Francesca Hong of Madison. We are talking about ESG investing, which is what I would call responsible investing, what the right wing is going to call woke investing. And in any case, by going after that, we've already described that it is a distraction. But Representative Shelton, there's something you want to keep in mind that when we're talking to people about this, when they raise these questions, again, whether they know it was a manufactured issue or not, they are most likely tying it to some kind of economic anxieties that they have, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And this is a really important point, is that, you know, overwhelmingly working people, not only do they have economic anxiety, there's an element of almost economic fatalism, right? This belief that no matter what I do, you know, it's really just on me to succeed. It's on the sort of individual understanding of how to build wealth or how to secure, you know, economic livelihood for your family. And so what you see Republicans like DeSantis doing, or by the way, the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty announced yesterday or this week that they're going to sue the Biden administration over ESG. So this is a way that they are weaponizing people's anxieties and fears to distract them so that they can focus on wokeism, which means a lot of different things, to basically maintain what I would argue power, prestige, and money. And so it really does not put the interests of the people at the forefront of what they're doing, and really weaponizes those real fears that people have.
And I wanted to make the point as well, Representative Hong, that when we talk about anything that would reform capitalism so that it helps capitalism work better for more people than just the wealthiest on Wall Street, for example, there's more than one flavor of capitalism. There's different levels of competition and regulation. And just because you're looking to reform something does not make it socialist, which I'm sure is going to be the outcry about this, because it's an easy thing to say.
Yeah, because the primary objective of the right and the opposition, and for people like DeSantis, are to create different forms of evil to distract us from the fact that it's them themselves. Capitalism is actually working very well for the wealthy and the few right now. It is working as designed to create abundance of wealth and maintain disparities, especially racial disparities. So it's important to keep in mind that if this isn't trying to make the system work better for more people, does not require a new labeling of that system altogether. right now, but it's absolutely okay to be angry at the fact that it's not working for the majority of us. And the majority of us are smarter and have resiliency and agency to be able to try to do better for ourselves. But right now, it's important to name what the opposition is doing. And that opposition, like the right wing, currently want us to remain in fear and our economic anxieties, but it doesn't have to be this way.
No, it doesn't. And that changes can come. And I know from everything from the Small Business Alliance to the Farmers Union to other groups are doing more to raise awareness of, if not monopoly power, then near monopoly power in reducing the amount of competition out there. And that helps, you know, stock prices, and it helps for golden parachutes, but it does nothing for the farmer. It does nothing for the consumer. And Representative Shelton, in terms of the vernacular about all of this. Look, I'm even one person that very rarely uses the word liberal because of the way it's been dragged through the mud for all these years. But again, being in Wisconsin, I also just happen to like progressive a lot better. But the point I see in your column is nobody should do the same with woke. Nobody should be backing away from it, but should be calling it out again for the distraction. And frankly, for what it really means. That's the tack that I've been doing is let's look at what that really means. And I think you're raising the point as well, not to run away from that label, but to have that be the start of a discussion.
Look, I think the way forward here is radical solidarity, that, you know, my freedoms are connected and my rights are connected to yours. We're all inextricably linked to one another. And, you know, when they come for one of us, they come for all of us. And, you know, we've seen that here in Green Bay. You know, a few weeks ago, the city elders were trying to ban the pride flag from flying on city property. And we organized and we showed up. And, you know, I'm not a member of the LGBTQ community, but I radically stand with them. And we organized and we were able to stop that ban. And so, you know, it's really standing up for things like housing as a human right, healthcare, public schools, clean water, good transportation, you know, the things that Fran and I have been working on with the Economic Justice Bill of Rights. This is what we're asking people to double down on. So, you know, it's not to have the conversation the way that DeSantis and with Will and these ultra-right wingers want us to, but rather to say we can build a Wisconsin that works for everyone, and we're going to fight like hell and make sure that we do it together.
And that's where we're going to want people to keep that in mind when you hear the letters ESG, and you'll go, oh, I don't know. Well, look, we all got used to hearing CRT, and we're just telling you that this is next on the political alphabet soup conveyor belt that it comes down. Let me shift gears before I have to let you go and talk about the governor's budget address yesterday, or last week rather, and the you know, the process in the legislature where Republican leadership and Governor Evers will have to come to an agreement at some point. We had Representative Jody Emerson on yesterday, and I also noticed that other local leaders are saying to their reporters that they have at least a sense of optimism that some kind of deal can be worked out, and a deal that works well for local support, for municipal governments, county, school boards, and such. People have heard me kind of waver, you know, on this, saying some days they think like, I think they'll get it done. And other days like, oh, this is just going to be a disaster. They're going to dig in their feet, et cetera, et cetera. So this is just a quick gut check time. Representative Hong, what are your thoughts on where you think this is going now that the governor's put in his proposal and the Republicans have of course said it's not based in reality and everything? Where do you think this is going?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that the Republicans' reality is very different from what the majority of Wisconsinites are experiencing and what they want. The governor has set the benchmarks for what we can and what is possible for so many Wisconsinites when we actually invest in them, their care, and their communities. Look at issues like paid leave. We've got small businesses, farmers, larger businesses, communities from all across the state who understand that being able to take care of your loved ones or having to stay home and not worry about, you know, what's going to happen with your job is absolutely necessary, especially coming out of the pandemic. These are conversations we're having with people, regardless of their political ideology. And so this budget is a reflection of Wisconsin values. And I believe that there are going to be some places where we can find at least make sure that Republicans understand this is an economic, moral, and a values issue where they can either stand with Wisconsinites or continue to abandon them.
And Representative Shelton, where do you stand in terms of, again, what we used to call it state shared revenue, but, you know, whatever local aid to local units of government is out there. Now that there are, as Representative Emerson said yesterday, there are cities and counties that have had to go to referendum to raise property taxes enough to cover police and fire and EMT. Do you feel like that has brought Republicans to the point where a deal on a better arrangement can be made for state support of local units of government?
Look, again, let me just sort of pivot back to what we were talking about before earlier. You know, this is a manufactured crisis that the Republicans in Wisconsin have led on for years. They are starving our communities, our cities, our municipalities, our school districts of resources. And then turning around and saying, you know, we demand innovation and cost-saving measures when cities and leaders and districts have done everything they can to hold it together. Well, there is no more holding it together. You know, school districts like the Green Bay School District are facing a $36 million budget deficit. And after 2024, the city of Green Bay is looking to, you know, hire more first responders, invest in transportation, looking at housing. There's been a big housing report up here. And we can't do that until the state steps up and does their fair share. And so these are critical needs. You know, I've been saying this is the people's budget. This budget belongs to the people of Wisconsin. It came from them. Democrats listened to them, and we delivered in this budget. And if Republicans would listen, they would deliver on this budget too. And I've been calling on my, you know, my constituents to say, hey, you know, this is your budget. Get involved and hold your elected officials accountable when they fail to act.
Yeah, this is, I mean, again, these are things that have bipartisan widespread approval in the state, you know, 70-80% approval for various things, whether you're talking about family leave or, you know, women's health rights, mm-hmm. gun safety and whatnot. Fran, do you suspect that there's, I guess, what's the most realistic, pleasant surprise that could come out of all of this? And I'll use the example of paid family leave, that Republicans know that they need to make some inroads, look more moderate, and as a result, they put some kind of a small benefit out there. That's one example. But is there something else where you think you might actually be pleasantly surprised when all is said and done?
Pleasantly surprised isn't something that I say a lot when I'm working in the Capitol. And I just want to reiterate again that Republican leadership have been asking our communities to do more with less for over 12 years now. And the state is sitting on a $7 billion surplus. It's time for us to ensure that cities and communities have what they need to be able to serve the people of Wisconsin. But where I do think that there could be some investments is, as you mentioned, in the care economy. So I'm talking about paid leave and family leave. We're talking about childcare. We're talking about elder care and health care. Care cannot wait, and it's absolutely imperative that every community have what they need to be able to care for the people that they are working with and loving.
And I think it, just the last note in terms of, you know, mental health care and resources, the governor saying that, that this should be the year of mental health. And within minutes after the budget address, you know, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss put out a tweet that said, never going to happen or something like that. I simply hope this is one radio host's request to you that every time that there's something said that, you know, denigrates the compassionate care for people with mental health needs or family leave needs or whatnot, feel free to give that a big old megaphone and come on over here anytime and let folks know what they're saying. And maybe, just maybe, that gets us a better budget deal. So with that said, Representative Fran Hung from Madison, Christina Shelton from Green Bay, such a pleasure to talk to you both. Thanks for coming on this morning and talking about what you're hearing in Madison and what you're working on for us in the future.
Thanks for all you do.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a great day. All right. Let's just take a second here and, you know, remind folks that in the budget, there's a lot of ground that covered. This is everyday life for folks. When you hear state budget, people's eyes tend to glaze over and they're like, oh, what is that? Well, it is, of course, your taxes, you know, and we heard about Republicans and a flat tax, and I think we've done a good job of exposing what a giveaway that would be to the ultra wealthy. We've talked about the paid leave, childcare, ways to make that more affordable, to help providers stay in business. Those are real world things that are funded through the governor's budget proposal. There's broadband, with the governor saying that by 2025, just a couple of years from now, that every home and every business has the at least the opportunity to connect to reliable and affordable high-speed internet. That's a bold goal that frankly should have no party label attached to that. It is the electrification of our generation. There was talk about making sure that school lunches and breakfasts are no longer unaffordable to some families where kids go hungry. And people will say, well, I mean, why do that for everybody? You know, even those who can afford lunch are going to get lunch for free. Is that socialism? And again, I would say, I don't think that word means what you think it means. If you're simply talking about making sure that every kid at school can eat. And the similarity I would give you is that when kids get on the school bus, there isn't a fare box. You know, they don't have to put some quarters in order to get a ride to school. Let's do the same with their lunches. It's well past time to do that. And of course, there's the expansion of Badger Care, which is Medicaid in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is one of only 12 states left that hasn't done this. The others, by and large, are in the deep South. And we don't want to be the Alabama or Mississippi of the Midwest. And yet we have politicians here who are still holding a temper tantrum about the Affordable Care Act passing, and they have cost you literally billions of dollars in extra spending that we have to make or federal aid that we didn't get so that more working families can have affordable health insurance coverage and peace of mind. These are some of the real world things in a governor's budget, in a state budget that we'll continue to follow for you. All right, we'll take a break. Todd Alba's coming up in just a bit to tell us about his show, A Matter of Minutes Away, here on Civic Media.
Every time.
What can I say, Todd? We just like to be close to you, and in this case, it means that we share the 8 o'clock hour. I run till 8. You start at 8. Here we are, just up against. This is Todd Alba, everybody, from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show Civic Media Radio Network. How are you?
I'm well. How about yourself, Pat?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm wary of the approaching snowmageddon.
I know, right? I mean, you guys are really going to get hit up there.
Apparently so, but now, as Jennifer Vachitsky said to us from Weatherology, look, there's three different things depending on where you are. Maybe you won't get 20 inches of snow, but the snow that you do get is going to be a blowin'. And if you don't get the snow, if instead you get the mixed precipitation, there's going to be a band of ice stretching somewhere. Maybe it's along the southern border of Wisconsin into southern Michigan. And, you know, it's really a case of pick your poison. I'm not going to envy anybody in one place or the other, you know.
I'm supposed to head out tomorrow after the show and go to, Monroe and then Chicago, flying out to Seattle this weekend with my godson and his parents to his new job out in Seattle with the Department of Defense out there. We'll be lucky to get out. I mean, it's going to be icy down in the southern part of the state. Not just icy, ice storm warnings. You don't see that too often.
No, you don't. And I too know somebody that changed their travel arrangements just to make sure that they could try to beat the storm. And, hopefully whatever their new arrangement was, I hope it works for them because they were going to Hawaii. And that's,
oh my goodness gracious,
that's a better place to be, you know, than moving 20 inches of snow. What have you been talking about over there on the Todd Alba Show?
Well, this morning, what we're going to talk about, of course, is the election results, and we have Trygve Olsen coming in from the Lincoln Project. He was actually in Madison yesterday, and we had lunch together, and he was going to come on the show live, all excited. But he and a couple other guys took off early to get out of town as well and beat the weather. But he'll be joining us via phone. And I'm not sure about you, Pat, but I'm looking at the results here, and I'm just blown away by Janet Protasiewicz, and quite frankly, Democrats as well, the organization. And I'd be interested, we'll talk on my show, I guess, in a couple of minutes on your take. But I'm looking at this, and I think a couple of things. A, I think Janet Protasiewicz did the exact right thing by making this an issue-based campaign. I know traditionally it's been, let's just be pious and keep. You know what? Donald Trump changed the landscape all over. And you know, if Donald Trump were running for Supreme Court, he would have been unimpassioned about his position on stuff. And Janet Protasiewicz was demure in comparison and just said, look, the maps are rigged and I'm for women's health, basically. And I think it was the right thing to do.
And the thing is, both of those things are not interpretation of a law.
Right.
They're part of essentially the inalienable rights, the right to cast a fair ballot in a fair election and the right to control your own body. Mm-hmm. And so to argue otherwise is to say that there is wiggle room in the Constitution, federal or state, to control a woman's body, to control her reproductive decisions, and that there is wiggle room to suppress votes or to overturn elections. And I know Dan Kelly can't argue that, given that he was a paid legal counsel for the Republican Party on the issue of fake electors. Yeah. So he really can't argue with Janet Protasiewicz saying, as we heard in the soundbite earlier from our interview, that this election, she's literally in it to help stand up for democracy.
I think the other thing that stood out to me last night was the margin of change from the last election. I was looking at Charles Franklin's professor from head pollster for the Marquette Law School poll, and you look at the shifts in western Wisconsin, southwest Wisconsin, in the Richland Center area, even up in Eau Claire, far north, up in Superior, Ashland, Bayfield area, a dramatic shift. And I believe, I don't have the number right in front of me, I think that Democrats upped their turnout in Dane County by 55% over the Supreme Court election in 2020. That's amazing. And all of our listeners are going to start hearing pretty soon about these goofy, I'm calling them goofy referendums coming up on the April ballot to try to drive out the GOP base. Of course, we all know that in order to receive benefits in the state, unemployment or welfare or food stamps or whatever, you have to work or you have to apply for work. That's already law, right? And now Republicans are going to try to, it is on the ballot, and you're going to hear all about this because, again, gerrymandering, fair maps, and abortion, those are loser issues for Republicans. I think that'll try to do something to up it, but I'm encouraged by these results.
Yeah, and again, these are valid issues, but because of those, like you said, they're political stunts, these referendum questions. But what it does is it opens the door for Dickey Line and his Fair Courts America PAC and all kinds of other groups to come in, and you'll hear less about gerrymandering, you'll hear less about women's health rights, and you're going to hear much more about welfare cheats taking your money and not having to work for it. Yeah, and then that's time that progressives will have to take to say, no, that's not true. That's not real. But that, you know, the commercials, much like coming into the U.S. Senate race, nobody thought the issue was going to be about bail. But, you know, again, the racist ads running against Mandela Barnes made it sound like now he wants to eliminate bail. He wants to open up all the prisons and let everybody out. Like, wait. How did that affect a race with Ron Johnson in it? But that's what it did. And that's what's going to happen over these next 6 weeks. And so we're just letting folks know to be ready for it.
How about Janet Protasiewicz winning Brown and Outagamie counties, Green Bay and Appleton? How about that?
I'm looking at that. And again, you know, obviously the conservative, you know, total is more, you know, you take Brown County, Protasiewicz got 41% compared to 37 for Dan Kelly and 16 for Doro. But still, you know, to have that kind of a performance in some of these northern counties, I mean, look at, you know, Lincoln County, for example, Protasiewicz 37.5, Dan Kelly 37.3. And then Jennifer Doro, 21. Yep. I think to a lot of people, the story here is that Jennifer Doro, for having covered the Waukesha Christmas parade trial, people expected a lot higher name recognition and basically a fresh face compared to Dan Kelly, who had run and got trounced by Janet Kurofsky. And instead, you've got Doro barely cracking 10% in a lot of these counties. In Rusk County, it was 9%. In Dunn County, it was 8%. You know, she did not have the name ID or the people who wanted to vote in these elections, you know, took a look at her and said they'd rather go with the guy.
But don't think, also, Pat, you know this as well, better than anybody else. There's always kind of the winners and losers of the ticket, and then there's the winners and losers you don't see in the ticket. I think for me last night, the big winner, Donald Trump, because he basically endorsed Kelly. The loser, Scott Walker, because his son and basically the Walker team, the Rebecca Clayfish team, was behind Doro and coming in
as
second
was
place.
As was Derek Van Orden, right. As was Eric Toney, who ran for Attorney General, the Fond du Lac County District Attorney.
Let's see how well Derek Van Orden did down there in Crawford County, his home county. Oh, geez, Jana Protasiewicz won the 52%. Dan Kelly got 32. Boy, a good old insurrectionist Derek Van Orten's name really helped her out down there.
did him a lot of good. Yeah. So there we go. We have set the scene for what is to come, and things will get real quiet after April 4th, folks. But between now and then, buckle up, because it is that important. Todd Alba, thank you so much. I'll come over and visit your show next, if you don't mind.
Come on over to my house. We'll have a cup of coffee.
All right. I'm going to go refill that cup. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. All right. Have a very good day. And that's going to be a wrap for us tomorrow. Kristen Lyerly, Joe Zepecki, Luke Mathers, all scheduled to join us. And you can follow me at Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.